This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Qualifying offer for Pivetta and not Tyler.
Let's discuss both.
What are the factors that led you to QO Nick?
Yeah, so I mean, we had a bunch of internal conversations, and without getting too far into specifics, like, we've been pretty outspoken about our need for pitching, we know Nick really well. This is ultimately where we landed. We'll see how things play out from here.
In terms of, how much of the season do you feel like you saw the Nick Pivetta you would expect to see in 2025?
Yeah, I think we definitely saw stretches of him just being dominant, and certainly we can dissect the performance to a greater degree, but he's a guy that has performed well in this market, has kind of all of the underlying metrics. He gets a ton of swing and miss. He doesn't walk guys. He can get guys out pitching in the strike zone. As you think about what a major league starting pitcher needs to be able to do to be successful, he has a lot of those ingredients.
Were there any kind of external, pushes? Did you see, oh, shit, Nick Martinez is getting a qualifier? There's going to be a very aggressive – teams are going to be moving pretty aggressively in this kind of space.
No. We made the decisions that we landed on independent kind of what was happening around us. Like I said, internal conversations, we landed.
How much consideration went into O'Neill not being one?
We kind of gave a ton of consideration to all decisions, and without getting too far into specifics, this is where we landed.
Just to back up on Nick, so you now have a pretty decent number of starters who are under team control for next year, right? When you look at Pivetta and Houck and Bayo and, Crawford, Giolito, how much did you want to maintain flexibility over the course of the offseason that, to be able to say, okay, first of all, you value depth, obviously, but also you are, theoretically, if you would also be in position to make trades that involve some of that group.
Yeah, I mean, I am not going to be the guy who goes on record saying that you can have enough pitching, too much pitching. Those things don't exist. This was a decision that obviously we made. But I think what remains is that, we'll continue to explore all paths again to improve the team. I said it, Sam said it, Alex said it at the end of the season press conference that, our goal is to build a team that can contend for the division, and we're going to need to be aggressive and decisive in doing that.
And you're all right with no lefties? I mean, I know that this is how it's been, but in your perfect world, would you have a lefty in the rotation?
I think in, not to kind of be snarky here, but in a perfect world, we'll have, starting pitching that can get both-handed hitters out, and we'll have really good, talented pitchers that are durable, and that can help us win games. But I don't think anything's off the table. I think we'll still continue to explore how we improve the rotation, how we improve the pitching staff.
We talked about being aggressive and coming in, and obviously for you it's different. I would imagine you look back a year ago, it's like drinking from a fire hose, you know. But do you feel like as you arrive here that you do feel like, okay, you know, we are ready, we are positioned to execute sort of this plan we have of being aggressive and, like you said, decisive?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it's a fair analogy to say I was drinking from a fire hose. I was getting to know our players. I was getting to know our personnel, the people around the office. I feel much better situated with that. And also, you know, we have to give the players a ton of credit, you know, young players who have emerged as guys that we think are going to be part of a really successful run. And doing that enables us to better understand where the voids are that we need to fill. And you know, the like I said, the goal is to build the most to construct the strongest team we possibly can. And we need to be flexible. We need to we need to be open to a number of paths in doing that.
Obviously, you know, Danny Jansen's a free agent now. So you only have one real catcher on the 40-man roster. I mean, you also have Mickey Gasper, but how do you look at that? Like, and you also have Kyle Teal that's not too far away. He obviously had a good September. How do you feel like where he is at, like, you know, offensively, defensively, how quickly he could be there, and how that affects your decision to get a second catcher in here?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we'll certainly, you know, explore opportunities to get better. That includes potentially at you know, in a kind of backup role to Connor, or however things shake out. Certainly feel, you know, excited about the progress that Kyle has made, but I think the focus, you know, for him is to continue to develop, to work on, you know, we saw a lot of success with some framing later on in the season. He obviously was good offensively for the season. And I just don't think it's fair to kind of like pencil him in or put timelines on him and just say like what's most important for him is to continue to develop.
There, in terms of starting pitchers, there were a few guys who were reinstated to the 40 today. Mm-hmm. All of whom were obviously ended the season on the 60.
Right.
Do you expect all of those guys except for Murphy to be healthy come spring training?
Yeah, the expectation is that every one of those guys from you know, Liam, Lucas, Witt, you know, they're making progress along the timelines and timetables that had been laid out. You know, it's November, and you know, we'll need to see how the next few months go, and they're critical months as guys ramp up throwing. But right now, everybody's on target.
And Devers, how's his health?
Good. Yeah. So you know, we had talked about toward the end of the season, he had imaging, no structural damage, more of just you know, he's got a violent swing, he hits the ball really hard, and you know, needs to first rest, and then I think through some strengthening exercises, we should be able to put this behind us.
Yeah. You had said on the last day, the day after the last day of the season, the post ultimate season day of the season, that you did not say no about the question of like, would you explore first base with him? Any conversations about you know, about position stuff with him, diversifying?
No, the conversations I've had with Raffy to date have largely just been about, you know, checking in, making sure that he's got everything he needs, seeing how he's feeling. And like I said, you know, any conversation that we would have about that's going to happen internally before it gets externally, you know, before it goes external. At the same time, like, you know, we saw progress on the defensive side, and it's, you know, unclear to what extent you know, the knees and the shoulders impacted his ability to defend at third. But you know, what we're after is putting a winning team on the field, and you know, we'll have conversations as needed as things go. But as of right now, that's not where we are.
Kind of working off what, you know, he just said about defense. I mean, you highlighted defense as an important issue to improve. Outfield defense was obviously really good, but the infield defense is, you know. So if you have Devers, you know, penciled in at third, and, you know, Tristan at first, like, you know, Story at shortstop, where there's really not any certainty, like, you know, like he can be healthy for a full season. How do you fix that if there's just so many people, like, if the personnel's really already penciled in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's a question we're wrestling with, and you know, we'll continue to explore. But I think the like I said, the one thing that I can say without reading too much into this is like we need to be open to the levers we can pull to get better defensively, and certainly a healthy Trevor playing shortstop every day will help us a ton. First and third aren't the only places that we would single out as opportunities to get better defensively, and we've started those conversations. I think we can create greater development environments and accountability around those things, and even Connor's defense, right? And he'll be the first person to tell you that he's devoting his offseason to working on those things. So I think there are opportunities around the diamond.
How do you view the bullpen? Obviously, you have Liam, he had closing experience. I know closers are, closers aren't closers necessarily. How do you view it in terms of acquiring that sort of high leverage guy?
Yeah, so I think we have some work to do, obviously losing, multiple free agents, but kind of headlined by Kenley and Marty. We have to figure out how to preserve leads. We saw the impact that not being able to do that can have on us in the second half. So we'll explore. I think we feel pretty good about Liam being healthy. Obviously, Slayton coming back. I think we saw a better version of Weissert after he was down and came back. But we're definitely going to have to make some additions there. And whether that is kind of like a bona fide closer or a leverage reliever that we feel like we can deploy at the back end of a game, I think remains to be seen.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like you basically like the to-do list was, we talk about a starter that could potentially start in a playoff game, right? Maybe a top of the rotation guy, a guy like you just mentioned in the bullpen, and a right-handed bat. Would that be fair to say these are the three?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to improve. We talked about having to improve our pitching quality and our pitching depth. I think that applies to both the rotation and the bullpen. Obviously balancing out the lineup in some way. It's a pretty left-handed dominant lineup. I think that is kind of the punch list.
You get Slayton as a potential closer candidate with Liam?
Yeah, I think he's capable of doing it. We'll see how the offseason shakes out. Having flexibility can be helpful, but mostly what you want is a bunch of guys that you feel like when you bring them in, they're going to get outs.
In a world of dwindling innings for starting pitchers, how much do you see there being a kind of steady convergence of the value of top end late innings arms and let's say mid-rotation starters?
It would be hard to strongly disagree with that. I think oftentimes, though, our view is shaped by the team that has just won the World Series, right? But without question, yeah, the bullpen is shortening, games and kind of taking innings away from starting pitching. But nonetheless, there's still a ton of value in the starting pitcher who can go deep into games because it does give you a chance to reset your bullpen. But I think the reality is we saw that we didn't have enough bullpen depth. We had arms down there, but they were generally, inconsistent once we worked through the back three, four, or five guys. And so if we had greater depth and greater quality, I think that is potentially a way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
To take away some of the burden from the starters feeling like they have to pitch, into the seventh or eighth inning every night.
Do you feel like late inning relievers are more volatile than, if you're making multi-year commitments to late inning relievers, do you feel less secure about that than you would about someone who's been a starter through their career, or is it the same kind of
It's a fair question. I think generally, right, like reliever volatility is pretty well acknowledged and appreciated.
Says the man who pitched 14 years, right?
But your back end relievers tend to be the least volatile of that population, right? Because by virtue of the fact that they've worked their way into the back end, there's some quality and consistency associated with them. But I do think like there are a handful of relievers that you point to where you feel like, hey, when this guy comes into the game, it's kind of locked down. There aren't a ton of them, and teams are willing to be aggressive in acquiring them because of the value that they can have.
A wonky question, but we talk about 200 innings and pitchers wearing down and everything else, but do you view it differently because of this max effort sort of environment that we have? In other words, is 200 innings different than it used to be because of the max effort sort of phenomenon we have in baseball? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I'm speaking here, without objective data in front of me, but I think we're all operating under the assumption that if you throw slower, you're throwing at less effort, which isn't necessarily true, right? Like, I threw 88 miles an hour. It was as hard as I could throw. Mm-hmm. I think as we think about like pitching injuries and pitchers wearing down over the course of the season, a lot of this might be some of the training methods that are happening in the off season, because I don't think we should take as given that because the number on a velocity on a radar gun is lower, that pitchers are throwing at lesser velocities. At the same time, it's also possible that pitchers are devoting their off-season training to improving velocity so that when they throw at a lower percentage of intensity, it's still a high velocity. And are we net better off there, or is the training actually what's creating some of this kind of breaking down, wearing down through the course?
Yeah, I just think of it because I think I look at the two World Series teams and you didn't have Gallen last year was 240 something innings. This year, I think the highest innings total was Rodon at 180 something. Mm-hmm. And then you have guys who were running on fumes. And they were just creeping over 200. Right. So it just felt a little different, I guess.
Yeah, and I think not just the type of training that pitchers are doing in terms of the programming, but also the volume, the intensity, it's all different now, right? And so I think there is there's a necessary acclimation and adaptation that maybe where pitchers aren't going through because they don't have the off season of rest and recovery and then a gradual on ramp, because training methods are now so successful that you want to jump right back into pitch design or velocity training because they're working. That might be the curse here. Whereas if we didn't think we could train velocity, then you'd probably take a month or two off in the off season. But knowing that there's a massive opportunity cost to that, you're less inclined to do
so. Is there anyone besides Bernardino who's down in Fort Myers? He had said that he's going through some velocity training down there.
There are a bunch of guys that are in Fort Myers, moving to Fort Myers, as this is kind of the time of year where throwing starts to ramp up. Some of the guys who are going through rehab are doing so in Fort Myers. I think Wink is also down there, but Giolito, Winlock. So a number of guys. And I think it's great that, we can get our oversight, we can get that access to technology, our medical staff, our strength coaches. So hopefully by controlling the environment a little bit, we can be more effective.
Where's Fulmer down there?
He is not right now.
Went back to Oklahoma.
He had 10 consecutive months in Fort Myers.
Who wouldn't want that?
Giolito, where is Giolito at in terms of have you been able to see everything to say, aha, that is him?
Seen him throw, also see him, when he was up here,
yeah, sure.
Every day, in the training room, in the weight room, working really, really hard, looks great, so fully expect, a complete recovery, and for him to be the guy that he's been at his peak.
Has he gotten to the point where you will... will you have him get to the point of airing it out completely, before there's a taper down?
We'll take him through, kind of the full return to play protocol, which is timed such that there will be some natural deload periods, because I think the timing of these injuries is as significant a piece of successful recovery as the programming is, because oftentimes, if you there's a good time to get hurt, but when you time these such that, like, from the time you start throwing all the way through the full next season, you've gone, you know, at times like more than a year without ever taking a real break, like, I think that can have a pretty detrimental impact on the long term. So if there's a good time to hurt yourself, spring training kind of is that, because it does give him some natural deload period.
Like, do you have, like, where is he in terms of velo at this point?
I don't think it would be productive to share. He's right where he needs to be.
In terms of offense, you can go.
How much you are interested in the Japanese market this offseason, especially? Starting pitcher is posted, but team was allowed make announcement to allow to post it.
Yeah, I mean, when we think about opportunities to improve the team, it means that, you know, we need to kind of canvas all paths and the entire market. And obviously, we've seen, the emergence of Japanese players having immediate impact. So it's something that we stay very, very close to.
Have you ever seen Ogasawara?
I'm not going to get into
specifics. Because of that Shota Imanaga, the Cubs did a very successful lefty from Japan. Mm-hmm. Do visualize him that the more interesting in the Japanese lefty? I'm not sure, like a lefty or...
Again, without kind of getting into specifics about players, I do think that whereas it was harder to kind of forecast how Japanese players might transition to the United States, there's now more and more data points and more examples of guys successfully doing that. So it's certainly a market that I think we're well positioned to engage in. And I think if you look at not only the success of players here, but kind of the Japanese infrastructure that we have in place in terms of our medical staff and massage therapists and strength and conditioning coaches, I think we do a pretty good job with helping players transition over.
And then Yoshida, he had surgery.
Yes.
And after surgery, he started doing the throwing program, and then he will be able to play the spring training, the full squad with the team.
So the timeline is such that we believe there should be no limitations on hitting, but throwing might come a little bit later on.
Later on the spring training?
Probably. Kind of roughly targeting opening day, but we'll need to see how the progress goes. I think throwing will be impacted more than this.
Is that more like a major surgery?
Pretty common. Pretty common. And obviously played all season, but felt like it made the most sense for him to get it addressed now so that he can be fully healthy from heading into 2025.
You see him? You view him as a DH?
I think his bat is largely going to dictate his success, and we saw him in stretches be a very, very successful big league hitter. But hopefully, coming to spring training, being completely healthy gives us some additional flexibility and versatility.
Offensively, how much more right-handed do you need to get? Is it just replacing O'Neill's production and knowing that, you'll have Trevor Story, which you didn't have that right-handed, or do you need to add more beyond just those like that too?
Yeah, no, I think ultimately the way that all of those pieces fit together is going to be dictated later on, kind of through the offseason, and also need to see how players come into spring training. Because, we have left-handed hitters, but we also have left-handed hitters who are going to play against left-handed pitching. And then I think we have, when you think about guys like Trevor being healthy, getting a healthy Vaughn back, continuing to push development for Sedan, Ref, Connor, and then a number of guys that we feel like are going to impact our major league team in 2025, who were in the upper levels of the minor leagues this last year. So, I think we'll need to kind of scour the market, both in terms of potential trades and free agency. But I don't think we're not going to acquire right-handed hitting at the expense of, putting a kind of better overall player on the bench.
Well, since you mentioned Vaughn, how do you just view the second base position in general? I mean, obviously it's up in the air right now, right? Like anybody can take it.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting because there are a number of players that, I think can step in and win the job. you know, and we saw, I think, you know, the last week and a half or so what Bond is likely capable of, and he's committed to getting bigger and stronger and moving better this offseason. You know, obviously Hammy was a really dynamic player for us, you know, and has that, you know, kind of on defense, offers so much range. It was pretty fun to watch. And then also the speed on the bases and just kind of being the dynamic athlete that he is. And then a number of guys, you know, in AAA emerged as, you know, as players that are going to, you know, knock on the door and probably force their way through, you know, pretty early on.
And so you look at Campbell as being one of those guys that could early on can push his way through.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, don't want to put an unnecessary kind of timeline, you know, on him, but it's really hard to ignore the success that he had. And, you know, it doesn't appear to have just been fluky. You know, there were a ton of like material developments. He's, you know, he was always a guy who could put the ball in play. His contact ability was really high going back to his college days, but you know, he's hitting the ball really, really hard. He makes good swing decisions, and defensively we feel comfortable about putting him anywhere on the diamond.
Towards the second half of the offseason last year, you mentioned like the big three were off limits, like you didn't want to trade those guys. Now there's a big four. Are you still like there where you just don't like those guys are untouchable, or how do you feel about the big four?
Yeah, I mean, we are really, really glad that they're here. Also, as you know, we think about the best way to put a team together that can contend for the division. Like, we might have to be willing to make harder decisions. You know, and that's not to say that, like, oh, so we are trading them or we aren't trading them. It just means that, you know, like, you can't look to the future forever. And you know, one way that we realize those value, the value of those players, sure, is you know, potentially in a trade that you know, kind of repackages their value and a better roster fit. But another way is for them to help us win games at Fenway themselves.
Ref Snyder, has he told you that he will play next year?
Yeah, we checked that box. Yeah.
Very good.
Do you feel that you're better positioned to potentially engage in the top tier free agents than you were a year ago, last offseason?
Yeah, I mean, without getting kind of into specifics.
So are you going to sign Juan Soto?
You know, yeah. You know, I think we have to be open to improving our team. You know, and I don't think we've been shy about the fact that, you know, our position player group is further ahead than our pitching group. And so as it relates to upgrades, you know, it will require really elite talent in order to upgrade the position player group in certain instances. You know, and so we'll kind of focus our attention appropriately, but we're going to do, you know, we're going to engage, we're going to explore anything that we think makes us better.
Well, I guess what, you know, I come back to, I think you said last offseason wasn't necessarily predictive of this offseason. Mm-hmm. And so now as we sit here, does it feel that way? Does it feel like...
Like last year was not predictive of...
Yeah. It just feels different. It feels different. Like, I come back to my aggressive question.
Right. Yeah, I think it feels different. I think it should feel different. Mm-hmm. I know a lot more about the organization. I think we know a lot more about our players. You know, and so being better informed allows us to make better decisions. And ultimately, like, our goal is to deliver to the fans, you know, a team that is capable of winning the World Series every year. You know, and we are approaching this offseason that way.
Or you might already address about this, but how about coaching staff? Everybody bring back?
We're not bringing everyone back. We're kind of in the middle of going through that process. So nothing to announce yet, but obviously shoring up the staff and, you know, identifying the responsibilities for each of our coaches is pretty important.
Any promotions or like front office designations?
Nothing. I think nothing right now. But I think in time could give like kind of a full rundown of where we are.
Since Cotillo's not here, when are you going to name a GM now?
I one thing I've noticed about this job is every time you try to set aside some time devoted to like a specific topic or issue or subject, like something else kind of sweeps you away. You know, I feel like we're really thrilled with bringing Taylor on board and his contribution to our group. Feel like he's going to be really additive. I think, you know, now we have kind of individuals sitting on top of particular domains in a way that is intuitive and sensible. So while I will shift my focus to a GM search at some point soon, I do feel like we do have the people in place in order to make good decisions right now.
A big part about finding that person was always like, what is the best fit? Like, what is the thing that's going to complement you?
Right.
I would imagine that you have a pretty good, much better idea of that right now than you did when you took over, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I just have a much better understanding of what the demands of the job are.
Yeah.
So.
Really? I mean, you didn't know that?
I knew there were many.
Great, even more. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.